God bless you all. Welcome to another Wednesday Fellowship. We're going to open tonight once again in the 12th Psalm, if you'd take your Bibles and turn there, please. Last week we touched on a verse that some of you have either communicated with me via phone or text or email to discuss, and so I thought I'd take it a step further this week. Psalm 12, verse 6 is our starting point tonight. Tonight I'm sharing with you on the topic of our daily bread. But Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." And last week we showed and covered how there's a figure of speech very significantly in this verse that needs to be recognized, the figure of speech ellipsis. Ellipsis is an omission that is supplied by repeating a word or words out of the preceding clause. So in other words, a word is left out, it's omitted, but it's supplied in the sense and needs to be understood. Now, this is there's really two types of figures of speech. I think when we think of figures of speech, we oftentimes think of words that are not literally true to fact. And that's one side of the study of figures of speech. But there's another side to it, and that's grammatical figures. Figures that are unusual usage of words that don't follow normal patterns of grammatical use, and this an ellipsis is that type of figure. You can ask as you read this, why would the words of the Lord require purifying, especially after the declaration of the first part of the verse that says that they're pure. Says the words of the Lord are pure words, so why would they need to be purified? But that's not what this verse is teaching. The word that's omitted, as we covered last week, is the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, period. And then by ellipsis, words of the earth purified seven times. Now, one thing that will help us to see this even more clearly is that the word earth here is the word eretz, which is spelled E-R-E-T-Z. And it's the word that's used in Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, it's talking about the whole earth. The furnace of earth oftentimes is taken in this verse as the instrument of purification, meaning the furnace is made out of earth. But if that was the case, this word eretz would not be used. There's another Hebrew word. It's the word I think it's spelled A-D-A-M-I-A-H. Adamania, I don't know, but it means ground or soil or clay. So if the words of earth were referring to the furnace, that's the word that would be used, but it's not. It's words of the earth. And also the little preposition in this phrase of means pertaining to. So it's words pertaining to the earth. Now, when God chose to give the revelation of his word, he didn't use words of angels, which the Bible refers to. He didn't use the unspeakable words of paradise, which 2 Corinthians refers to. But he used words pertaining to the earth, pertaining to man, in this world, in the earth. In other words, human words. And then as you work through this, there's different considerations. There's a lot of human words that were in existence at the time of the writing of the Bible that God did not choose to use. He didn't use all human words. He chose just some human words, and those are the words that he purified. The ones that he purified, he elevated. You know, it's interesting to consider. Adam and Eve, when they were made, formed, and created, came from the factory, so to speak, from God's factory, pre-programmed. That's the best word that I can use to describe it. They did not go through the learning process of language like their descendants have. You know how a baby, we have a little granddaughter right now, comes around our house often, little Hope, and she's learning to talk, and she's got a very limited vocabulary, but it's expanding, and, you know, she's learning words, and it's a gradual process. It takes a while to learn how to talk, to learn a language. Adam and Eve didn't go through that process. They came pre-programmed, and those words came from God. Originally, they were perfect, and the words that they had were from God and would have been perfect. Then Adam and Eve fell, and when they fell, the language that they knew fell with them. In other words, the language of humans has been and continues to be degraded. It's not pure. It's not perfect. God takes, in the Bible, in his revelation, he takes words pertaining to the earth and purifies them. Purifies them so wonderfully, says seven times. You know, I think about this pre-programming of Adam and Eve. This is not really pertinent to our topic tonight, but it's another example of some things that God does that maybe people don't consider. I think of the record in Acts chapter 3. Remember the man that was above 40 years old and he was lame from his mother's womb? In other words, he had never walked. He was born deformed, or he was certainly born handicapped. But yet in an instant, you know, after Peter said by revelation, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what did he do? He rose up and walked and leaped and praised God. Remember? Now, he had never walked in his life, and he was above 40 years old. That miracle of healing was so thorough that he skipped the learning to walk process. Just like Adam and Eve learned or skipped the learning of language process that all other humans basically have gone through. So God has just tremendous ability, things that, you know, often are not considered. I mean, you know, that the man was healed is a fantastic miracle, but that he was walking and leaping and praising God without any prior practice or just amazing. But the words that God chooses to give by revelation are words that he purifies. He uses them in a pure way. But there's also another type of word that can be found in the Word of God that isn't words that men have known before, but words that God initiates or God makes up, if you will. And there's a number of examples of them in the Bible, but they are pure words, but they're words that have not been known prior to God giving them by revelation. And I'd like to show you an example of that tonight, a very, very familiar verse of Scripture to all of us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. You know, when man does something, generally, It degrades. It deteriorates. That's why God had to purify human words seven times. But there's also some instances in the Bible where God gives a new word by revelation that very wonderfully, very specifically communicates his heart through this new word. And this is an example of that. It's found in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, in verse 11. Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray using this example, and part of this prayer is verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now that's about as familiar a verse of scripture as we have, isn't it? You know, this word daily here is only used by the Lord Jesus Christ to start. It's a word that came from his father, that his father taught to him. There are no other usages of this word daily found in any of the contemporary literature or in, you know, the language of that day and time. It's a new word, daily. So when there's no other sources or no other places to learn what the word means, then for us to understand it, we have to revert back to etymology, this, you know, the study of the actual construction of the word. And this word daily, the first part of it is the preposition epi, E-P-I, which is then prefixed to a verb participle, and that's the verb emi, spelled E-I-M-I. Now, the word epi means upon. It has the sense of a superposition, upon. Great use of the word epi. We're going to certainly be dealing with in a few weeks when we get to Pentecost. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. You know, a dissension and a superposition, an upon. That's epi. The word emi means to go or to come. So the word daily literally has the meaning of coming upon or going upon. So this is reference to bread, you know, daily bread, that is for our going or our journeying upon. Pretty neat when you stop and think about it. You know, each of us have a journey. Each of us are going. And the prayer is, supply us our daily bread for our journey. You know, what we need. And it also has the sense, daily bread, the phrase, of bread descending or coming upon from heaven. Now, bread supplied by God for our journey. It's daily bread, given daily, and it's bread descending from heaven, his provision coming from heaven. So it really, the word is a very rich word, and it combines two ideas, the word of heavenly, you know, coming down upon, and the concept of daily. And it's the provision, God's provision, for your journey. Now, stop and think. Does this remind you of anything in the Old Testament? God supplying bread daily for the journey, bread from heaven. Well, if it doesn't remind you of something, I'm sure as we go to Exodus chapter 16, you'll see it. go to Exodus chapter 16. And the verse is just wonderful that starts because it says, and they took their, verse 1, they took their journey from Elim. The children of Israel are on a journey. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their parting out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. I think any of you that are familiar with this period of time, this was a relatively common occurrence, them murmuring against Moses, really murmuring against God. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. But ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Talk about thinking evil. That's what they're murmuring, that they're going to die. They're going to starve to death. Verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate. How often? Every day, daily. Every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he hears your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your murmurings, which you have murmured against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of the Lord, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay round about, when that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there laid a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. This is one of the great words in the Bible. The word manna means, what is it? They didn't know. They didn't know what it was. They said, what is it? That's what the word manna means. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they had meet it with an omer, he had gathered much, had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Boy, you talk about God's provision. You talk about a tremendous miracle. How about that? And it came to pass, verse 22, that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which ye remained over lay for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it was did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Look at the incredible detail of that. So they could preserve the Sabbath. They didn't have to do the work on the Sabbath. They got twice as much on the sixth day. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let each man go out of his place on the let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Boy, doesn't that sound fantastic? And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, which I brought you forth from the land, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron so laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna, how long? 40 years, the 40 years of the wilderness. 40 years until they came into a land inhabited, they did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. Boy, what a chapter. And this is how God provided for the children of Israel. And he did it every day. He didn't give them a week's worth of manna. He didn't give them a month's worth of manna. This was their daily bread. It descended from heaven. It was from God. It was God's provision. It was for their journey. And that's exactly what that word daily encapsulates. What a wonderful word that God coined and Jesus Christ used to teach people to pray. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. See, God wants us to rely on him every day. He wants us to rely on him constantly. You know, it's not that God makes provision for the, you know, necessarily for the rest of your life or for even for the next week or month. Some things might bleed over in that category, but God wants us to come to him all the time. Isn't that what he reminds us of so much in the manifestations? That he wants us to depend on him, that he wants us to look for his provision. And really, what a great part of the Lord's Prayer. Again, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. The Aramaic translation of this is, give us day by day our daily bread. In other words, day by day, each day relying on God. It's fantastic also to read some of the context of this. We're going to start in verse 25. Jesus Christ taught, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, or don't be anxious, for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment or clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? You know, God feeds the fowls of the air. I learned relatively recently that fowls, birds, are like the gluttons of the animal kingdom. Birds will often eat more than one and a half times of their body weight each day. Now, you know, think of how much you weigh. Could you imagine? You know, but that's what birds eat. And God feeds them. He takes care. Aren't we much better than they? He's going to take care of us. Which of you, by taking thought or being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought or get uptight for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, right now, this time of the year in our yard, we have just beautiful, beautiful lilies that are all over the place, and they're in full bloom. And, you know, they are. They're absolutely gorgeous. You know, even Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little believing? Therefore, take no thought, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's a pretty good description of unbelievers, seeking after material things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then verse 34, therefore take no thought, don't be anxious, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, living in day-tight compartments. You know, a big part of that is for us to pray for God's sufficiency every day. Give us this day our daily bread, God's provision for us. To close, I'd like to go to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. In the manifestations earlier, God reminded us of his many promises and that his promises are sure and that he will fulfill them for us. One of the great ones is what we'll conclude with tonight. Here in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply how much of your need? All your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. Now, you got to look at that word again. It says need, doesn't it? It doesn't say needs. It says need, and that's with divine design. It says, my God shall supply all your needs, singular. Because God wants us to depend on him day by day, moment by moment. Every moment of the day, my Father cares for me. And that when we have a need, a singular need, we take it to him. You know, we don't let needs grow and accumulate, but we take singular need to him, knowing that he will supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So it's a wonderful walk. We're on a wonderful journey with our Heavenly Father, and we have the divine examples that have come before us of how God has protected and provided for the children of Israel when they were in, a very austere circumstance, took care of them during those 40 years. You know, God takes care of the things of nature, whether it be plants or animals, but how much better are we, the sons of God, But God wants us to depend on Him on a regular basis, day by day, moment by moment, to meet our every need, and He promises to do that. So, Heavenly Father, thank You for the supply of our daily bread. Father, all that that entails and means, that as we walk through this life, that we know that our need will be met as we take our prayers to You, as I make our requests known, as we depend upon Your provision, that, Father, You are sure and absolutely faithful to provide for Your children. So, Father, thank You for this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.